2020. My name is Ingrid Castle. I'm your host of Immunize Wisely, and that's on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And you can visit our websites. I'm the director of Vaccination Liberation, so our websites are vaccinetruth.com and VacLib, that's VACLIB, short for vaccinationliberation.org for organization. So that's VacLib.org. That's a website that Sally Alcordi, the previous hostess, highlights for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. That's a big deal for us in the vaccine aware movement. And I just got off the show with Vaccine Free America. And we ended with an interesting note on the assimilation of many different races into this country, and certainly how the white male has been under attack quite a bit, but actually all races have been under attack in this country. There seems to be a whole agenda to keep us divided, for sure, but we've certainly seen in the universities how, you know, other races are encouraged to have their own social groups, you know, whether it's Asian American or African American, et cetera, you know, Hispanic Americans. But, you know, you try to have a group that, you know, unites white people, and now it's forgotten. So, yeah, it was an interesting discussion for sure. But so you can certainly tune in. We did a lot of news highlights of what's going on with this coronavirus, different lawsuits and different events, you know, fighting, breaking out of these lockdowns, or, you know, certainly standing up and saying enough is enough. So I want to mention that we do have a chat room. So I will be dropping links into the chat room. It is not Vaccine Free America. That was the previous one. This is going to be Immunize Wisely. Immunize Wisely with a Z. Stylize Wisely, W-I-Z-E-L-Y, dot chat and go. That's chatango.com. And so I'll be dropping links in there. And without much further ado, I'm going to go ahead, because we, you know, we basically did all the news summaries I usually do in the previous hour. And so I want to just go ahead and introduce my great guest, who is Dr. Peter Bregan. And for those who are unfamiliar with his work, his resume is a whopping 29 pages long and can be accessed at Bregan.com. That's Bregin.com. And Dr. Bregan is the author of over a dozen books on mental health and psychiatry, as well as a book called Wow, I'm an American, How to Live Like Our Nation's Heroic Founders. It was published in 2009, which I figure would be of interest to RBN listeners. His amazing career has spanned over 60 years. That really dates him, huh? And started soon after he graduated from Harvard in 1958, which just happens to be the year I was born. He really put himself on the map of who is who in our world when he began exposing the hazards of SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Serotonin reuptake inhibitors. I'm sorry, my pronunciation here. And that was in 2004. And then he wrote several scholarly papers on this topic, soon leading to the publication of more seminal books. More recently, he found himself in the spotlight yet again with his research and subsequent papers on what we are now calling COVID-19. Dr. Breggin has added a coronavirus resource center to his website, breggin.com. Again, that's BREGGIN.com, and has written a 134-page legal report titled Dr. Breggin's COVID-19 Totalitarianism Legal Report for Case to Stop Emergency Declaration in Ohio and Elsewhere. You could also access the Ohio Stands Up press release regarding their lawsuit against Governor Mike DeWine at Breggin.com in the Coronavirus Resource Center. So that's a pretty long introduction for me, but there's so much. Man, this man, Dr. Peter Breggin, is quite the guy. I mean, I wonder how he does it all. And, you know, welcome to the program, Peter. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Ingrid. It's been very exciting for me since we started to take the big risk of being hated by a few million more people in the establishment, since I probably the most active psychiatrist in criticizing psychiatry in the world. I've been called the conscience of psychiatry, and you can imagine how well that's greeted. I think it'll be fun for your audience to hear a critique of psychiatry, which many will have suspected or thought about intuitively, but never heard expressed before, because psychiatry really is an offense to the fundamental basic ideas about what is a human being. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt that was kind of what my marching orders are, that's what God or whatever power watches over us and guides us and protects us and wanted me to do. And I'd never wanted to interfere with that goal of being the person who would stand up to my own profession on things like drugging children for so-called ADHD and electroshocking people, which still goes on, and stuff like that. And in fact, Ingrid, and I just mentioned this briefly, I did an international campaign in the 70s when I lived in Washington, D.C. area to stop the return of brain mutilation, lobotomy, where usually neurosurgeons, sometimes with the help of psychiatrists, go in and mutilate the human brain of people deemed to be mentally ill. And, of course, forever harm them, forever impair the expression of their souls through their brains or their identities or personalities. And that was very successful, and I worked with Congress. I was in D.C., near D.C. at the time. That was probably one of the most important things I'd ever done. And it was the beginning of my learning about being either a libertarian or a conservative, because I thought of myself as a liberal. But I found that when I tried to stop the surgeons from doing brain mutilation, people like Ted Kennedy, whom I later found out about, his sister had been lobotomized, but they stuck with the docs. You know, the doctors were the heroes, didn't matter what the doctors were doing. And I had a coalition of the Black Caucus, interestingly enough, because I had found out that they were doing these operations on little black children in Jackson, Mississippi. And I met my first conservatives and libertarians because they thought it was just flat immoral and unreasonable to be doing these things. So I was coming at it from two different perspectives and gradually discovered that my natural inclinations, I just never met a, I went to Harvard, I never met a conservative, never met a libertarian.
Way back then, in the 60s.
Oh, right, in the 50s. I arrived in 54 and graduated in 58. But leaving that background behind, and what you mentioned, I did go on, and I was the single scientific expert for all the lawsuits against Eli Lilly for mayhem and murder and psychosis being caused by Prozac. And that's when I really learned about the establishment and how dangerous it was to ever go up against billion-dollar industries. And that taught me a great deal and kind of toughened me. And around that point of time, my wife Ginger joined me. And then when she saw me under attack, she just decided that the thing to do was to defend her husband. So we've been partners in the reform work ever since then. Mm-hmm. And we did not initially decide to get involved with taking on things like vaccines or things like the handling, Fauci's handling of the COVID-19. And we thought that's another whole bunch of enemies, and they're kind of related too because they involve the pharmaceutical industry. But then we found out from a 2015 paper that Fauci was funding and still actively doing it, as we researched, collaborations with the Chinese from the Wuhan Institute, the now infamous Wuhan Institute, which at that time I was learning about from scratch, and that we were actually, you know, sending viruses back and forth and working on making them more pathogenic, taking viruses out of normal bats, getting routine viruses out of them, coronaviruses, which are viruses that are found in human beings and animals all the time, and purposely engineering them so that they could reproduce something very, very close to the current epidemic in mice and demonstrate with human epithelium from the esophageal lining and show that the virus would indeed, once it was engineered, attack the epithelial lining of the human lung. And this, back in 2015, was called a SARS coronavirus. It never entered the numbering system, and or our current one would be SARS-CoV-3 instead of 2, because mm-hmm. there was that virus created. And in mice, it was so similar to the current virus that in mice it was remarkable for being lethal for older mice or physically compromised mice, but remarkably leaving the young ones alone. And it caused a severe respiratory disease, which made them, you know, feel comfortable calling it a SARS coronavirus. And they were trying also to develop a vaccine for it, and that was Fauci's excuse. See, we're developing vaccines in case one of these pops out of nature, but here we are, we're giving it to the Chinese, we're sharing this information, creating it with the Chinese at the Wuhan Institute, which is, as anyone would guess, is run by the Communist Party, and hence the military is deeply involved in it. And we're doing this. It's as if we brought them into our, you know, atomic weapons plant, and right. And studied the atom with them and how to get smaller bombs to explode or something. Very similar to that. And it was very, very hard for us to believe it, but we researched it. We made up our minds that we were correct in our analysis. We talked to a few people. There were hardly anybody to talk to at that time.
What month was this? I'm sorry, Peter.
This was April. Mm-hmm. And then in mid-April, we put online first a blog and then a video immediately after a video. And we were quite scared and frightened because I know better than most people what they can try to do to you. Mm-hmm. And so did Ginger. And the video got about 50,000 views. But within the first day, we managed to get this information up toward President Trump. And I can't swear it got to him, but it got to very close to him. And And he canceled the program. He canceled Fauci's funding of taking viruses out of nature and making them into human pathogens. Mm-hmm. Fauci, meanwhile, is still trying to get around that. So this, it's never ending, because his commitment to funding stuff for the drug companies is huge. And one of the things I think is motivating him here is to help the drug companies find vaccines and make a lot of money doing it. And he's doing that right now, of course. He's quote partnering with the drug companies, and some of that we may look at as good intentions, and some not. And I'm sure, from your view, it's completely a horror.
Yeah,
I'll take a breath.
I've been looking at this for a while, so to me, you have to weaken a human body before these kind of, you know, I consider it a poison, you know, that they're creating different, you know, poisons. We call them a pathogen, but in a healthy person, they can't seem to replicate. So you have to take down the human immune system first. And they certainly did that in Wuhan with the intense air pollution. There were major protests. The children were getting sick constantly. They didn't have the environmental protections in there, and the people were treated just like dogs, and horribly. And then they unleashed 5G, you know, which is really just another layer of pulse modulated microwave radiation on top of 4G. So, you know, you have this intense poisoning going on many different levels. And so this is what was taking the people out so rapidly, in my humble opinion, that you can't, you know, they can't, you know, do all this stuff in a laboratory and have it have any effect unless you take out people's immune system first through a lot of environmental poisoning and even poisoning of our food supply with genetically modified foods and et cetera, denatured foods.
Well, as you know, this is not something I can endorse. I don't have this information. I'm kind of overwhelmed dealing with the information I have.
Right.
But I just do want to make that clear. I'm not right here to support that view, but to share with your audience, mm-hmm. you know, stuff they may not know that I do know. And
right.
It's very, very clear to me that there is something very strange going on internationally.
Yes.
That people speak of as the elite, that and Fauci's directly connected to that, because he's quite involved with you know, Bill Gates. So as you probably know better than I do, with your yes. years in this arena, and they've obliterated, among other things, national boundaries. And the idea that Gates was financing jointly U.S. and Chinese at this time in history research on the building of such potentially devastating weapons, but also the risk of escape, not just, you know, regardless of whether this thing was unleashed accidentally or purposely at this point in time, it had the potential to be a weapon easily. And And they knew that these leaks could occur. So, you know, what is their motives? What is Fauci thinking? I mean, it's almost as if he's looking forward to an epidemic so he can just right. marshal all his resources, his life's work. Because exactly. these risks are terrible.
Well, so do you feel that it was a good idea for Trump to lock down our borders? I do. Myself.
Oh my God! Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. You mean absolutely? And I think that I think it's a good thing that he's standing up to China too. I don't like to get too much into politics, but I guess I'm so deep in it now. There's perhaps no escaping. But but it's also
connected at this point.
It's all connected. It's also very interesting to me that for whatever reason, Obama canceled these, they're called gain in function. Can you imagine that? Gain of function research. What kind of gain of function for a virus is it to be able to kill human beings? And that's the euphemism, which I think kept people from even, you know, looking at these articles. You know, the heading of the article had, you know, gain of function in it, you know, the title. And, you know, who's going to know what that is, just glancing at it or be interested in it other than somebody that's involved in that stuff? Mm-hmm. And that's a very deep puzzle to me, though, still, as to what in the world's going on, that the American researchers were just, you know, working with Chinese, knowing that they were giving them lethal weapons. And, you know, you're probably familiar with the recent escape of a Chinese PhD and physician from China.
Yes, the woman,
yeah,
scientist.
Yes, Yan, Y-A-N.
Yeah, I forgot her name. I'm glad you remembered.
And she, I mean, she gave this chilling analysis. First, she documented, confirmed that she was very familiar with this kind of coronavirus work, that it was going on in the Wuhan Institute, and she did some viral research and discussed it at some length, which she felt indicated that this virus not only was man-made, human-made, but it came out of the Wuhan Institute. And then she went on to say that that they now had a storehouse, the biggest storehouse in the world, of potentially epidemic SARS coronaviruses, SARS-CoV viruses. So that was pretty chilling. And she also went ahead and wrote in this pre-publication article that she put online that the Chinese now had the ability with no serious impediments to do what was done with SARS-CoV-2, which was to put a, it's like a trigger or a spike, it's called in the literature, onto a coronavirus to give it the potential to infect a human being. And also you tinker a little bit else with the virus to help it infect human beings. And that they now had that technology. And it's so eerie because there was a follow-up article in 2016, which didn't list any Wuhan researchers. The big article that we found first, 2015, had two very, very powerful Chinese researchers. One is now known as the Bat Lady. She's been celebrated in American scientific journals with biographies. I think Science Magazine did one of her. And another Chinese who was the head of the research from the Chinese end of developing the capacity of viruses to connect to human cells and enter them. So they were right there, and the footnote, you know, telling you where everybody was from, identified these two people as from the special viruses section of the Wuhan Institute. So I went and started looking it up and found out that most recently the main biowarfare officer in China was now in charge of that facility. So, but you'd know that anyway. You wouldn't really, I mean, even if they said no, it was owned by one of their few Christian members of the party. I don't know if there are any. You would know that they were just there for purposes of developing weaponry. But we were able to document that not without much trouble. So the Chinese now have this stuff. But I was going to say the second article came out in 2016 that we were tracking, and it didn't have any authors on it from China. But you read the fine print at the end and who they're thanking, and they're thanking the Bat Lady for sending them the materials that some of the materials they needed to insert the spike into the cell. So they're going back and forth and working together. Mm-hmm. Then we found out that, in fact, Fauci's been directly funding the Institute itself after Obama put a ban on gain-of-function research funding. They went ahead and sent money directly to the Wuhan Institute. It's treason. It's like treason.
Well, it's total treason. Yeah. And how Fauci's been getting away with this is, you know, just incredible to all of us that he's, I mean, certainly we had Judy Mikovits that was a whistleblower, and, you know, he's certainly been exposed even before this. So, you know, it's amazing.
They managed to cancel out all critics.
Huh.
They pulled Judy. I had two fabulous interviews with Judy on my radio TV show. I do a once a week radio show, and it goes up as a video on our YouTube channel. And YouTube took down my interview with Judy Mikovits. So I actually want to announce now that we have we've gone to another place that isn't afraid of Judy Mikovits, and we've put up both of her interviews with me there. So you can go to my website now and get these two amazing interviews with Judy. And I don't agree with, again, about everything that that Judy necessarily says. Of course, as you know, and I'm sure you support, she'd like to see a ban on all vaccines until we study them. And it's hard for me to go there, but there's no doubt they've not been studied. I mean, that was when I started looking into this stuff. It was a little bit like when I first started looking at the FDA-approved trials that got Prozac approved, and I thought, hasn't anybody else before me ever looked at this stuff? This trial doesn't show anything except how corrupt they are and how willing the FDA is to fudge and mess around with the trials. And for example, in the Prozac trials, they only lasted 4 weeks because patients were dropping out. So they had to cut them short and make them look valuable. And then even in those 4 weeks, the patients were getting so agitated, which is a part of what makes people violent and suicidal on Prozac. You take somebody, you were talking about vulnerability, you take somebody who's depressed and you make them more agitated and anxious with a drug, amphetamine-like effects, and you run the risk of terrible outcomes, including violence and suicide. Well, they illegally gave their patients in these trials addictive sedatives to calm them down. That's completely illegal. They did it against the rules of the FDA. And when they got to the FDA for final approval, they couldn't get approval because the only studies that looked even close to being at all useful to the patient were the ones with the sedative drugs. So they approved it on a basis of illegal foreshortened studies. Mm-hmm. And they ignored the warnings of their chief investigator at the FDA, whom I interviewed at the time. I was the medical expert, I think I mentioned, for all the combined Prozac suits way back then, 1994. And the scientific medical expert. And I interviewed the man who at the FDA was in charge of adverse effects of Prozac. And he kept warning them that you were adding amphetamine-like effects and that should be put in the label. People should be warned about it because you don't want that to happen. They wouldn't listen to him.
Huh. Okay, we're coming up on a commercial break. Wow, you're just a wealth of information, Peter, but we are going to teach you about the vaccine issue. Kennedy Jr. certainly turned around when he started doing deep research, although he still says he's not anti-vaccine.
Yeah.
He pretty much is.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You're listening to Immunize Wisely with your host, Ingrid Castle, and my esteemed guest, Dr. Peter Bregan. So, Peter, you know, this is something you've obviously delved into, the harm that psychiatric drugs are causing their patients. I mean, you've certainly mentioned to me how these psychiatric drugs are designed to actually do a lot of damage, neurological damage in the brain. But have you ever thought that the vaccines that are administered in children, since, you know, it's admitted in studies that every single vaccine causes some degree of swelling in the brain. They all, you know, in all the trials are all cause encephalitis. It's just a matter of degree. That could be causing the epidemic of mental illness. And then they're exacerbating and making it worse with these drugs. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's right on target for my first scientific paper on vaccines. I've done, I don't know, 90 peer-reviewed articles, but this is a pretty new area for me. And one of the first things I found out, which Oh, it shocks everybody. I think a lot of people who first start to looking at vaccines, we expect to find placebo-controlled clinical trials lasting at least 4 to 6 or 8 weeks anyway, where you compare the with great care, you compare the drug that the person's being given to a placebo, to an inactive or inert substance. And this would be very, very easy to do with vaccines because, let's say, the MMRI, you could do a study of 10,000 kids because we're not too worried about children getting the measles immediately in the future with so much herd immunity and the vaccines and so on. So you could just give a whole bunch of kids a vaccine and a whole bunch of kids not the vaccine. It's very simple. And since nobody's ill, you don't have to worry about keeping them from treatment or something by not putting them in the treatment group, but putting them in the control group. And furthermore, whereas most drug clinical trials last a matter of weeks, which, by the way, folks, should not give you a great feeling of security about taking FDA-approved drugs, but they usually last a few weeks. These studies could go on for months. You just don't vaccinate the control group for months, and you could find out a lot. So I started to look into that. And one of the general ideas was, well, the harm from vaccines would come later on, and you wouldn't be able to control clinical trials, wouldn't mean anything. But then the more I looked into the literature, the more it turned out that there was a whole bunch of these weird, really strange neurological disorders that were coming up very close after using the MMR as one example, but some others as well, vaccines. There's a term in medicine called encephalopathy, and encephalopathy only really means disease of the brain. But when docs use it, they usually mean a disease caused by an injury or insult that's serious. That's what they usually mean, just like it sounds, encephalopathy. They mean something serious. And some of the cases that I'm seeing being commonly, not maybe very commonly, but reported, we don't even know the incidence because we don't have that data very well, but that were being reported with the vaccine were encephalopathy. And all that meant was something bad happened to the kids' brains. I mean, they didn't even research further. They didn't look and see if it was a meningitis, an encephalitis, a swelling. Just this very nondescript but very threatening term, encephalopathy. Then there were the kids who were getting encephalitis and other things as well. And as I looked at the scientific literature, I was rather startled to see, as often happens in my own field, but not this of psychiatry, but not so dramatically as this, is that the research was extensive in the beginning and then didn't develop. And then I tracked it some more. And here's an area you and I may not agree with, and maybe I'm wrong, but what happened basically is when the issue became, is it causing autism, that was extremely misleading. It wasn't causing autism. That's like saying, is it causing ADHD or is it causing any behavioral disorders, none of which are known to be physical. They're not defined physically. There are no neurological signs that go along with autism. Autism was originally defined by a man named Kanner and is still defined as a developmental problem. It doesn't have an abrupt start from something like a vaccine, or it would be looked upon as being a trauma to the brain, be defined as an encephalopathy or encephalitis or whatever else. So this was grabbed onto by the drug industry to discredit Wakefield and to discredit anybody who was saying anything bed about neurological effects. So I'd go and I'd look up in a standard textbook, maybe of neurology or pediatrics, and I'd look up vaccines and they'd say, the MMRI does not cause autism. And that would be the entire write-up. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't say, but wait a minute, it's causing a lot of different neurological effects, some of which look like autism. It just said, oh, no, does not cause autism. And that's not an unreasonable conclusion to come to, because autism is defined as a non-medical, really, non-physical disorder. But you can make kids look autistic by harming their brains. You can harm a brain, and the child will not relate well anymore, won't communicate anymore. But it's not autism. It's a neurological injury. And they have confused this issue purposely. All of psychiatry confuses this issue. So many people listening to me, even in your sophisticated audience, may think that depression has a biological origin. Most people's depression does not. It's not. It's had more to do with life. And all the so-called psychiatric disorders, they say are biologic, and there's no evidence for any of them being biologic or genetic. And so they took that thing, and now when a physician goes and looks in a reputable textbook, wondering if the child he just saw who got the vaccine and just really got really remote and withdrawn and started to look like an autistic kid, whether that could happen, and he looks it up, and there's nothing said about traumatic responses to the vaccine where the swelling of the brain or an inflammation of the brain, whatever else is going on, is causing the severe neurological reaction, and they just see there's no autism. So my article says there's a lot of neurological disorders that look like, from the research we had going on for a few decades, are being caused, and oddly enough, many of them are being caused within the first week or two or three. So all we need is good clinical trials to begin to address that. Won't address everything, because there are very long-term things. And then I went on in the scientific article and argued, but unlike other drug and medication studies, you could do very long-term studies because these children don't need treatment. They're just getting vaccinated. It's not like they have to have a treatment. So if you don't vaccinate them, you can just let them be and track them. And I concluded there's a high probability that we were creating a lot of neurological disorders that were being overlooked by this enormous blast against the autism issue. And it's interesting, if you look at a graph, and I have a graph in the paper that's put out of complaints to the secret medical court that is conducted to protect the drug companies, essentially.
You're talking about the injury compensation program court?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, this the vaccine court, for short.
Right.
It's actually, folks, if your child has something to matter, or you do, and you try to sue the company, you have to actually, you're not allowed. You sue the federal government for a piece of the pie of money they've set aside. They've set aside, not the drug companies, to handle these things. And unlike a regular court, you can't bring up anything new. They tell you what you can bring up.
Right.
It's really quite bizarre.
It is very bizarre. It's a private court. It's totally unconstitutional.
Yes,
there's no trial by jury of your peers. But, yeah, we digress. I did want to just insert that we have an explosion ever since the VICA, the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, passed in 1986. The drug industry, you know, the vaccine manufacturers were given the green light that they could go ahead and manufacture all kinds of vaccines and have no liability. There would be a tax added onto the vaccine. So that we saw the schedule just increase, you know, sevenfold. I mean, it's huge.
Yes.
I mean, we're like, you know, we consider our kids now what do they call them, pin cushions for big pharma?
Yeah, they're money machines.
Right. So it's really sad what's going on because none of these vaccines have been tested. They've been tested for their interaction with each other.
So, no, they haven't been. They'll test one drug. Wait, again, you may know more than I, but they're tested usually one. The vaccine is tested against one other drug. So if what happens is, let's suppose that one in 1,000 children or 10,000 children will get a neurological disorder from a vaccine routinely. And if your vaccine, you test it, you get that happens in one in every 10,000 or whatever, just like the other vaccine, it's not called an adverse effect.
Right.
It's crazy. You're comparing one poison to another instead of comparing your potential poison to a non-poison. That should clarify it. And of course, it's very confusing if you're comparing your poison to somebody else's poison.
Right.
It doesn't allow for looking at the effects of your poison because it's muddied by the comparator, who also has got all kinds of muddy stuff.
Well, it's not just vaccines. You know, we've talked about how there's prenatal ultrasound going on. You know, this is, you may not know this, but in 1992, the FDA increased the level of intensity allowed for prenatal ultrasound eightfold without any studies. And the only studies ever done on human beings with prenatal ultrasound were done in China because they were limited to having only one child. So if a woman got pregnant, she was subject to these ultrasound studies.
Oh,
and those studies were done with the pre-1992 intensities. And the data is shocking. If you haven't looked at that, you will understand more why our children are so incredibly damaged. And the encephalopathy. We're talking, remember the whole Zika thing where, you know, you have these children with what's that disorder where they have hardly any brain? I forget what they call it.
But yeah, the encephalopathy, the microencephalopathy.
Yeah, that's right. So you have these children. Well, they had this one, it's actually advertised on YouTube, you know, how these this couple did not want to abort their child. And this baby literally has like no brain. It's so shocking to see that the brain is literally like gone right above the eyebrows. And there's like no brain of this child. And she admits that they wanted her to abort the baby. She did not want to. And they told her she had to have come in like 3 times a week. She was getting ultrasounds 3 times a week throughout her pregnancy, and that's what caused that condition, microcephaly. It's microcephaly. So anyway, it's really shocking, and I showed that to Jim West, who did brought those studies from China. There were like 50 of them, and he put in a book like 12 of them. But I just thought you'd find that interesting because it's not just vaccines we're talking about. They're doing vaccines even in pregnancy. The CDC has never authorized that or recommended vaccines in pregnancy. It's not on the package inserts. That's absolutely off-label recommendations because all the initial studies of vaccines during pregnancy show that the vaccines and all the adjuvants go directly to the developing fetus and cause all kinds of damage. So, If any children survive these recommendations these days with all the prenatal ultrasounds, vaccines during pregnancy, women drinking, diet sodas, GMO foods, fluoridated water, who knows? Who knows what else they're consuming, and then the mercury amalgams. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, it's just amazing that any child survives that. And then they're microwaving formula, what can I say, Peter? It's really shocking what's going on. And so you can see, these parents that are awake and trying to bring in healthy progeny against those that are just, watch the TV and do whatever the authorities tell them to do. And there's a striking difference. You're either awake or you're not today when you're having children.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's things that I have not investigated in any way at all. But a lot of it makes sense. I mean, the whole outsourcing, you know, when I look at how bad the testing being done here in the United States of drugs are, even when they're done at the biggest universities, because they're basically all just bought by the drug companies. And the drug companies, people don't know this, the big names who are doing the studies, they don't even get to see the data. They just send the data to the company. Company analyzes the data and often writes a scientific article, and these guys get paid to sign on.
Right. I know. It's incredible, isn't it?
But outsourcing makes it much worse.
Okay, well, we're coming up on a commercial break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to my esteemed guest, Dr. Peter Regan.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. We have 4 minutes before the close of the first hour. So, yeah, we have so much interesting stuff to cover. But I kind of want to go back to some of the stuff you found to put in a 134-page you know, basically an expert witness paper for the Ohio lawsuit that other states can use as a template. I want to highlight what you felt was really important to put in there, because, you know, Peter, I have to say there are so many moving parts with this whole epidemic. There's a lot of people, or pandemic, or plandemic, or scamdemic, or whatever. we certainly shut down the borders. It doesn't seem like we should have that many cases. There certainly was a monetary incentive. There's so many moving parts, and certainly there's people getting sick. But is that, you know, with these faulty tests, you know, is that what they're getting sick from? So I kind of want you to focus, if you would, especially at the beginning of the second hour before we take any callers, on what you felt were the best things to highlight in this 134-page document.
Well, one highlight was the overview on politics, which the attorney was shocked that a psychiatrist came up with, and which was exactly his point. He was so happy to be hearing it from a medical perspective. And that was, is that when you have a major threat that's created to the well-being of a society, such as an epidemic or a war, you don't throw away the Bill of Rights. That's when you most need the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. And there is absolutely nothing in the science of public health that even winks or gives a nod to human rights, and and God forbid, liberty as being the highest ethic. So it's all about the entire public health science. But this is where my wife Ginger came up with. She started bringing me these papers. I mean, I do the writing, and we both do the research in a lot of these areas, and we both do the thinking together in the evenings and so on. So she brings me stuff. And she brought me what became a whole scientific literature, supposedly scientific, in the public health field. And it's all about how do you threaten people to get them to do what you want. This was unbelievable to me. And the literature goes into detail about it and argues about different approaches, but they never question, never, and anything we saw, and we saw enough, they never question whether that's consistent with democracy or liberty or any of those values.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's like, no, we everything is manipulating a population. This is the whole lead agenda.
Absolutely.
So thank you. We're closing off the first hour, and please stay tuned for hour number two with Peter Bregan.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoCertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.